Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet and Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
For the son of African immigrants, a short cab ride in Boston becomes a journey into the world his parents left behind in Uganda. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Usually, a taxi ride is just that, a ride. The driver takes you from point A to point B. You pay your fare, and that's it. But sometimes a cab ride can become an adventure. On this podcast, we bring you the story of a student at Boston University who got into a cab one night and found himself face-to-face with the world his parents lived in before they left Uganda and immigrated to the United States.
My name is Philip Kisabika. I am the son of immigrants, Ugandan immigrants to be exact. People want to know where my last name comes from, and some of them just don't know where Uganda is. It's in East Africa, if you didn't know. Find Kenya on the map and look to the left.
Americans, they really don't know where Uganda is. They say, is that next to Nigeria?
That's my mom. She's in Atlanta where I grew up. I'm in grad school in Boston right now, so we talk over Skype.
Sometimes it's rather annoying because they refer to all the Africans as Nigerians.
So
I'm learning how to handle that and kind of educate each person as I go along.
For me, there's always been three kinds of first-generation Americans. There's the immersive kind, who identify themselves as Americans first and don't care much about their parents' heritage. On the other end, there are those who are surrounded by their parents' culture and dive right into it. I've always been in the middle, knowing where I come from, but keeping it at arm's length. I'd been thinking about all of this when I met a cab driver whose accent sounded familiar.
If not that, we have no time, because much of the time is work.
It turned out that Ronald Mwebe is from a town in Uganda pretty close to where my dad grew up. Ronald's been in the U.S. for more than a decade, and his three sons were born here. My family's part of a large Ugandan community in Atlanta, but I hadn't met many Ugandans in Boston. So Ronald instantly became a link to the country that my parents emigrated from, as well as kind of a reality check of what they've told me about Uganda. I had a lot of questions for Ronald, like what the difference is between raising kids here compared to his experience growing up in Uganda.
And there is not that kind of parental relation, because much of the time the parent is at work. When mom or dad comes back, he is already tired, he has the fatigue, he cannot play with the kid. So I find that there is that kind of isolation between mom or between dad and the kid.
My parents saw things similarly. When I was a kid, they worked long hours to provide for my younger brother and me. They immigrated to the U.S. in the early 80s and are now citizens here. Their first vote was in the 2008 presidential election. And when I talked to my mom recently, she had just cast her vote in this year's election.
I voted today.
Oh, you voted?
Yeah.
Who'd you vote for?
It's going to be my little secret.
There's always the question of how immigrant parents pass along their culture to their American-born children. My parents have always made efforts to assimilate my brother and me into Ugandan culture, but not everything sticks. We weren't always the most enthusiastic students.
The first time I took you to Uganda, both of you, maybe you were six, your brother was four, and you just did not have a good time. Everything seemed to you, especially you, everything was filthy. You didn't want to sit anywhere. It was just a culture shock for you.
For me, the most uncomfortable part about that experience, besides the flies and the heat, was the language barrier. My extended family speaks Luganda, the most widely spoken language in Uganda.
It was tough for you because you didn't know what they were talking about, and it was tough for them because they could not speak English.
As much as the news about Uganda over the years has been negative, with civil wars and unrest dominating the headlines, people from there believe it's a great place to grow up, even though the opportunities are greater here.
Back home, you can leave him home without fearing that anybody can come and steal my kid or snatch my kid from either the compound or whatever. Not the same way here. Here, You don't know your neighbor. And your neighbor doesn't know you.
When I asked my mom about that aspect of life here, she agreed that family in Uganda is a lot more than people inside the home.
It's a true saying whereby it says it takes a village. The whole of my street is in charge of my kids. They can discipline them, they can tell them what to do, and they are really part of a household.
The older I get, the more I realize how tough it was for my parents to balance being in this country and getting my brother and me to understand the culture of their home so we could feel close to it. We have family in the U.S., but the majority of them are overseas. My mom said she only had a couple of regrets in our upbringing.
Right from the beginning, when you guys were younger, I really longed that my parents, I wish they were nearer to me, because in terms of teaching you the language, nobody would have done it better than grandma and grandpa. The other thing is that you cannot speak the language fluently, which I would have wanted you to do. Because once you learn the language, nobody can take it away from you.
It all gets me thinking. When I have kids eventually, what will I tell them about our last name? What could I tell them if I don't know everything I should know? My parents have done their best, but the rest is on me.
I think you've turned out okay, and hopefully you pass it down to your children.
It seems like I'll always be between two worlds, but it can't hurt to even things out a bit. I'm Philip Kisubika.
Keep it up, son.
Philip Kisubika's story comes to us from the journalism program at Boston University. We had help with this story from Ann Donahue. The Feet in Two Worlds podcast is produced by Jocelyn Gonzalez and Aaron Leaf. Our engineer is Chad Bernhardt at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the Support tab in the upper right-hand corner. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.